طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Is it correct that this is our 11th session? Does anybody know, is this our 11th session? I think it is anyway. I hope. Okay, so bismillah. Today, this is our 11th session, reading from Arabic lessons in fiqh. Al-Mustawa Thalith, the third level, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Our subject for today is going to be Sifatul Wudu, which is relatively brief, but there are some points that we want to cover carefully with some detail. So we should be reading from page 21. But before we go to page 21 and read Sifatul Wudu, I just want to refer you back to Bulugh Maram. Everybody who received a copy of the explanation of Bulugh Maram, the commentary of Sheikh Safi Rahman Al-Mubarak Furi, Rahimahullah, Rahmatan Wasi'a, everybody who received a copy of that, then I just, in case you didn't read the Bab of Al-Mash, على الخفين. In case you didn't read it, it's from Kitab al-Tahara, Bab al-Mash على الخفين. It's the fifth Bab on page 30. The Shaykh has commented on the hadith of this Bab, with some good points. But because of the sake of time, last week we were not able to read it. So I'm just going to refer you back to that Bab. It's on page 30. Bab الباب الخامس باب المسح على الخفين. There are four hadith in particular that I want you to look at when you have a chance and read their commentary. Hadith number 55, which is the first hadith. Hadith number 57, which is the third hadith. Hadith number 58, which is the fourth hadith. And hadith number 59, which is the fifth hadith. Okay, I skipped hadith number 56 because it's of no benefit to us. It's a weak hadith and it doesn't bring us any benefit whatsoever. Alhamdulillah that it's weak and it's contradicted by a stronger hadith, the hadith of Ali. But in any case, hadith number 55, 57, 58, and 59. Hadith 55 is the hadith of Mughayrah that we have studied and memorized in another class, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that if you have washed your feet before you put the socks on, then you can wipe over them. Hadith number 57 is the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, in which he mentions that if the deen was based upon ra'i, opinion, intellect, reasoning, then a person might think that it's better to wipe over the bottom of the socks. He said, but I saw the Prophet ﷺ wiping over the top of the socks. And this tells us the manner in which the wiping should take place. Should be over the top of the socks. Hadith number 58 is the hadith of Safwan ibn Asal, and this hadith is usually used to refer to two things. One, the timing that's permissible for wiping, a day and a night for a resident, and 3 days and three nights for a traveler. And it's also used to refer to another point of great importance, and that is that a person may wipe if their ablution has been invalidated by urination, defecation, passing wind, or sleeping, not from janaba, and this is excluded from this. And this is a very important point. The wiping over the socks is not from major impurity. The last hadith that I want to mention is hadith number 59, also hadith of Ali, which radiallahu anhu, which he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made the timing for the wiping as 3 days and three nights for the traveler, and one day and one night for the muqeem, person who's resident. This is the time period for wiping. And then the other hadith, I mentioned other matters, but these are the hadith that I want you to go back to, 55, 57, 58, and 59. Okay, so please go back and look at them, and try to look at the commentary that the Shaykh mentions, just to benefit from it. Okay, second point that I wanted to mention from last week's class is Ibrahim is not here. This is for you, Ya Ibrahim. The second point I wanted to mention is Ibrahim had asked about the socks that are below the ankle. There's a lot of discussion about this. Anyway, I mentioned then, and so I want to read from here, from just a brief note, from the chapter of wiping over socks. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen mentions in his discussion concerning this matter, he says, he mentions a point, which is a rule that is very important for us to look at. And other scholars have mentioned this rule too. But I just want to mention this rule. He says there's a difference of opinion about the matter of wiping over socks that do not cover your feet completely, perhaps because there's a hole or split or something, so some part of the foot is not covered. And the scholars differed about this matter. And the Shaykh, he says, he mentions the difference of opinion according to the Hanbali madhab and then other opinion. He says, وَالصَّحِي جَوَازُ الْمَسْحُ جَوَازُ الْمَسْحِ عَلَيْهِمَا مُطْلَقًا. يعني that what is correct is the permissibility of wiping over the socks مطلقًا, without any restriction. Without any restriction. بِنَاءً عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يُشْتَرَطْ سِتْرُ مَحَلِّ الْفَرْضِ مَدَامَ اسم الخف بَاقِيًا. يعني the correct view is that it's unrestrictedly permissible to wipe over the socks based upon بِنَاءً عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يُشْتَرَطْ سِتْرُ مَحَلَّ الْفَرْضِ, that it is not a condition that the place محل الفرض, the place of obligation for washing the feet, yani the place of obligation of washing the feet is the whole of the feet up to and including the ankles. He said لا يشترط ستر محل الفرض, that's not a condition that the socks have to cover the whole obligatory part of the foot that must be washed. That's not a condition. مَدَامَ اسم الخف باقيًا, as long as whatever you're wearing, the name خف is still applicable to it. Okay? And this rule is a very important rule, because it refutes all of the fake conditions that people made. It can't have a hole, it can't be thin, it can't be see-through, it can't be water go through it, it can't be all of this and that. Sheikh said what? That's not a condition. As long as the name kuf is still applicable to it, then these conditions have no basis. We come to that. Okay, we'll come to that. I'm just mentioning here the principle that we're working with. The principle is, the Shaykh is saying his view, that's his view. He already said that's not the view of the majority, that's not the view of the madhab. He said, what's the view of the madhab? If it has a hole, the fard part of the foot that has to be washed is not covered. Even any part of it is not covered. You can't wipe over them. He's saying, no, that's not a condition. Like, from where did you get this condition? Naam, akhi. This class is not about wiping, but I just want to go back to a little bit to cover this point. Naam. Yani, the general definition of khuf. Okay, last week I read to you that Sheikh Al-Faymeen said, in the beginning of his explanation of another book, he said that the khuf, what is intended by khuf is whatever covers the feet, whatever a person wears on their feet. Whatever it might be, whatever it is made of. Whether it's made of leather, whether it's made of nylon, silk, rayon, whatever, I don't know what people are wearing today. Whatever, wool, whatever. Okay, so what is intended by khuf, what is intended by khuf is whatever covers the feet. We're going to come back to that too, but we read that last week, okay? And I read that last week in the beginning so that we can have in our mind from the very beginning that what we mean by khufs is not limited to leather socks, okay? And I mentioned last week also that the brother, he went to the masjid and they told him you can't wipe over those regular socks, they have to be khufs. And then he told him tomorrow he'll bring him the evidence. So tomorrow he went back to the masjid and they gave him some fake evidence. The evidence was the hadith that I just referred you to in Bulugh al-Maram, where the Prophet ﷺ wiped over khufs. So does that mean that in that hadith he wipes over khufs means he didn't wipe over anything else? Yani Al-Mughira spent more than five years with the Prophet ﷺ, and he narrated hadith from the Prophet wiping over khufs. He narrated hadith of the Prophet wiping over turban, amama. He narrated from the Prophet wiping over jawrab, socks, regular socks. But because they brought one hadith, the rest of the hadith are cancelled. Anything else he wiped over don't count because we got this hadith. Okay? So please, brothers, be careful. When you want to research a subject, you can't get one hadith and then that's final. You have to get the rest of the hadith related to the subject. You have to bring the rest of the hadith, especially if they are authentic. So what do we mean by khufs? We mean whatever covers the feet. Even if they are jawrab. Also, boots, whatever, that cover the feet. Okay, so there are some rules. We discussed some of them last week. I just wanted to mention this. Okay, second point, or third point I want to mention is, we read last week that they said, yani in our book, that Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, mentions the Sahaba, who it's narrated from them that they wiped over regular socks, jawrab. Okay, so here, I want to mention from Shaykh al-Albani, in his checking of Abu Dawud, yani the Sahih of Abu Dawud, he has a long discussion, pages. I'm not going to read all these pages to you. But I'm just going to mention that in that discussion in Abu Dawud concerning wiping over socks, Shaykh al-Albani mentions, Bab al-mas al-jawrabain. Listen from Sunan Abu Dawud. The bab is al-mas al-jawrabain. Jawrabain means what? Regular socks. Whatever they are made from. Whether they're made from wool, whether they're made from wood, whether they're made from plastic, whatever. Jawrabain. Here, Al-Imam Abu Dawud mentions from Huzail ibn Shurahbil an Al-Mughayra ibn Shu'ba. Another hadith from Al-Mughayra ibn Shu'ba. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda'a wa masaha ala al-jawrabain wa na'alain. That the Prophet ﷺ made wudu and he wiped over his socks and his sandals. Qultu, Shaykh al-Albani said, Qultu, isnaduhu sahih ala shart al-Bukhari. You can wipe over shoes. If, as long as you put them on, having washed your feet with water when you made wudu, and you put them on after washing them with water. If you put them on, you can wipe over them. Yani, you put your socks, you wash your feet, you made wudu at any point in the day. You put on your socks and you put on your shoes while you're in a state of tahara, from washing the feet with water. Now it's time to pray and you want to pray in your shoes. And you wipe over them? No, you can wipe over them. But yani, today I want to quickly go through some points because this is not our topic today, okay? But last week we discussed most of these topics. So now I'm just bringing the confirmation of the points that weren't fully discussed last week. Shaykh al-Albani said this narration from Mughayra, another narration, that the Prophet ﷺ wiped over his jawrabain, wa na'alain. Shaykh al-Albani said, I say, isnaduhu sahihun ala sharti al-Bukhari. That is authentic isnad according to the conditions of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. وَصَحَّحَهُ Ibn Hibban. And even Al-Imam Ibn Hibban also declared it sahih. And Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi said, إِنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيٌّ. And At-Tirmidhi said, it's Hasan Sahih. وَأَحْتَجَّ بِهِ Ibn Hazm. And Imam Ibn Hazm also used it as a proof. And this is not one person. Shaykh Al-Albani is saying this. Ibn Hibban said it. At-Tirmidhi said it. Ibn Hazm said it. Said this hadith is sahih. And then Shaykh al-Albani mentions the isnad of the hadith. He discusses it in detail. He said, هذا إسناد صحيح على شرط البخاري. And then he also mentioned that this hadith was also reported by Ahmed. And he mentions the isnad. It was reported by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. He mentions the isnad al-Tahawi, al-Bayhaqi. He mentions all of these different isnads for the hadith. And he says that Sufyan al-Thawri, in reference to the isnad of the hadith in Bayhaqi, Sufyan al-Thawri, يعني, he mentions him, that it's narrated from him. وَقَالَ التِّرْمِذِي حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيٌ. And then he mentions, يعني, التِّرْمِذِي declared it صحيح. And then yeah, and he mentions there's some difference of opinion about this. There's some other scholars who said that it is weak. In any case, here in the beginning, we discuss يعني, how many scholars declared this hadith to be صحيح. And then the Shaykh has a long discussion. And he mentions also Sheikh Ahmed, Shakir, who is a great scholar of hadith from this time, and a little bit ahead of Sheikh al-Albani, and he also did a great research about this hadith. And he says, he has a discussion about this. I wish that we have time to read his full discussion. But he says, after discussing the isnad of this hadith, he said, وَلَيْسَ الْأَمْرَ كَمَا قَالَ هَؤُلَىٰ يَأَمَّ. And this, and it is not like some of the scholars, the imams of the past said, that this hadith is weak. وَالصَّوَابُ صَنِيعُ التِّرْمِذِي فِي تَصْحِيحِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. But what is correct is what Tirmidhi has declared concerning this hadith, that is sahih. وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ آخَرٌ غير حديث المس على الخفين. Because this is a different hadith altogether. This is not the hadith of Mughayra about wiping over khufayn. This is a different hadith and a different isnad. And we don't declare it sahih, a da'if, just because in one hadith Mughayra narrated the Prophet wiping over leather socks. So he can't, there can't be another hadith that he wiped over regular socks. That's what Al-Imam, yani Ahmed Shakir, great hadith scholar from Egypt, yani from our era, a little bit ahead of Shaykh al-Albani, mentions, and he also mentions, for indeed the people have narrated from Al-Mughayra a hadith kathira concerning wiping in wudu. And some of them it's narrated that he wiped over leather socks, khuffain. And in some of them it's narrated that he wiped over al-imama, the turban. And some of the people narrated from him that he wiped over jawrabain. These are all different hadith. And all of them can be checked separately. And he said, there's no contradiction between any of these. That he wiped over turban, he wiped over leather socks, he wiped over regular socks. And in his lifetime, he did a lot of different things. So anyway, that's his discussion. And then he mentions also another narration that's a shahid of this hadith from Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. And he mentions that he said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ wiping over his jawrabain wa na'alain. And then he has discussion about that hadith. And then he says, وَبِلْ جُمْلَ. These are pages of discussion, right? I'm just like summarizing it. وَبِلْ جُمْلَ فَالْحَدِيثُ قَوِيٌّ يُشَاهِدُهُ الَّذِي قَبْلَهُ. He said, this second narration Abu Musa al-Ashari, he said, in summary, this hadith is قَوِي. And it is testified to, yani supported by the one that's before, the hadith of Mughayra. Okay, Shaykh al-Albani, Allah irhamuhu, rahmatan wasiya. Then he goes on to narrate, yani, some of the people that Abu Dawud, Imam Abu Dawud mentioned, from Sahaba, who was authentically narrated from them, that they wiped over socks, and we mentioned some of them last week. And then the Shaykh, he says, yani, Abu Dawud mentions wiping over socks, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Mas'ud, Al-Bara ibn Yazib, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Umama, Sahal ibn Sa'ad, Amr ibn Hurayth, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abd al-Abbas. And he narrates from all of these Sahaba wiping over socks. Shaykh says, يعني قلت قد وقفنا على أثر علي بن أبي طالب وفي سنده من لم نجد له ترجمة وعلى أثر أبي مسعود إسناده صحيح على شرط الشيخين وعلى أثر البراء بن عازب إسناده صحيح على شرط مسلم وأثر أنس بن مالك إسناده صحيح على شرط الشيخين ورواية أبي أمامة وإسناده حسن وعمر الخطاب وإسناده ضعيف. يعني he said that I searched for all of these narrations that Abu Dawud mentions, all of these Sahaba, and this one is صحيح على شرط الشيخين بخاري مسلم. This one is صحيح على شرط مسلم. This one صحيح على شرط بخاري. This one صحيح. يعني سبحان الله. And then people say, you can't wipe over regular socks. And then he has pages. Each one of those narrations that he mentions there, each one of them he deals with separately, bringing the isnads and his ruling concerning them and what the other scholars said about them. And these are pages that we don't have time to read now. Okay, so yani, just for our benefit, that it's officially yani mentioned that the wiping over regular socks is not yani something that is made up. It has a basis in the marfu hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the yani practice of the sahaba, major sahaba.
I understand that with regard to prayer and wiping socks, a person is considered a traveler only up to 20 days. But aren't there some scholars who say that a person is a traveler as long as they can cure themselves?
Yeah, we're going to come to the prayer of the traveler at another time. There's a difference of opinion of, you know, how long can a person, you know, wipe over their socks if they're traveling. What is the distance for traveling? You know, how long can a traveler stop over before they can't take advantage of this ruling? All of that is a lot of discussion. Yani, so any we have to come to it, and we come to it because it's a long discussion and there are a lot of different factors that have to be considered. But in any case, there's no doubt that we're not talking about traveling for how many days. As long as a person is traveling, it doesn't matter how long they're traveling. Nobody says that you can only travel for 20 days. They say, some scholars say, you can only stop over for so many days. And if you stopped over for 20 days or 21 days, so you're no longer considered as a traveler. Or 15 days or 4 days or whatever, any difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Okay, as far as you're traveling, you're actually on the road traveling and you didn't stop. I mean, as long as you're traveling, there's no discussion about whether or not you're a traveler. The discussion is if you stop someplace for 4 days, and according to Hanbali madhab, if you stopped over for more than 4 days, then you're no longer considered a traveler. According to some of the madhab, it's a different number of days, but we're not talking about how long you're traveling, we're talking about how long you stop over. That's a long discussion that we'll come to when we come to it.
So are there some scholars that say that you can stop over for
20 days or 21 days? Because there are narrations of the Prophet stopping for that long. So they said, okay, for as up to 20 days or 21 days, you can continue shortening prayers because the Prophet ﷺ did so. But after that many days, we don't know because we don't have any record of him stopping any place as a traveler for more than that. Okay? But the rule is not limited to what actually happened. But the rule is as long as you're a traveler. As long as you're a traveler, then yani, it's open. In any case, like I said, we come to that when we come to it. Today, inshallah, we want to just finish this wiping over the socks. So I want to bring to you yani, two sides of the issue. They have mentioned here, and if anybody likes, I can send you this by email. Our Sheikh, Dr. Saleh Fawzan, may Allah protect and preserve him, said, and I quote, and this is what they are saying here after they mentioned Bismillah about socks, ankle socks. Yani, they mean socks that don't cover the ankle, although they didn't make that clear. Because some people, when they say ankle socks, they mean socks that just cover the ankle. But what they're really talking about here, our discussion is about socks that do not cover the ankle. Okay, so they corrected themselves later on. They said that's what they really meant. But in any case, the point is, we're talking about socks that don't cover the ankle. If they cover the ankle, there's no discussion about it. I mean, there's no difference of opinion. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, and it is a condition for the validity of wiping over footwear that the footwear cover the foot. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Khair, khair. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حول الله ولا قوة إلا بالله حول ولا قوة حول ولا قوة حول ولا قوة Brothers and sisters, Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam wa sallallahu. Please pardon me. This class, as we said in the beginning, is not really a fiqh class per se, okay? This is an Arabic language class in which we are studying the subject of fiqh. So it has two purposes. It's not purely fiqh. And for that reason, we can't go into every detail of these fiqh matters. But this is not intended to be a pure fiqh class. Rather, it's also Arabic language class. So we're going to spend some time dealing with some of the issues of fiqh, but you have to keep in mind that yani, we also have to have some limits on it because it's an Arabic class, okay? So, pardon me. Sometimes if we go into a little bit too much detail, just for the benefit, but you know, we have to somehow get back on track, yani, remembering that we're also studying Arabic language here. Okay, so I'm reading somebody's translation. This is not my translation. I'm reading in English from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, yani, which is a famous book written by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, which he summarizes the issues of fiqh in two volumes, two big books. We summarize them. And this is from that book, first volume, page 142. It is a condition, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve himself. It is a condition for the validity of wiping over footwear, that the footwear cover the foot. He means by that, obviously, the entire foot. He may not wipe over footwear that is not sufficiently covering what is required to wash. What is required to wash means the whole foot, up to and including the ankle, right? And when we said the furud of wudu include washing the feet up to and including the ankle, Shaykh is saying, you may not wipe over footwear that is not sufficiently covering what is required to wash. And required to wash means the fard that Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned over there. The fard. And the fard means the whole foot up to and including the ankle. So you may not wipe over it if it doesn't cover what is required to wash. That is the entire foot up to the entire foot, top and bottom, including the ankles. Like footwear that is below the ankle. Or footwear that is big enough but does not properly cover the foot because it is too thin. Yani, it covers the ankle, but it's thin. So it doesn't properly cover because it's too thin. Like a thin nylon sock. None of these things may be wiped over since they do not adequately cover the foot. So that's one opinion, right? Legitimate opinion. I'm reading this because when I went home last week, I said, you know, we need to read the other side, both sides, so that we have some balance and some tolerance of people who have a different view. Okay? So that is the majority view. That's the view of the madhab, of Hanbali madhab. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, many times he differed with the madhab. Okay, so then they mention, I want to share a benefit with everyone, inshallah, from our Shaykh Al-Albani, second side, rahimahullah. Wiping over kufs or socks that have holes in them. Holes in them mean they didn't cover the fard that has to be washed in wudu. As for wiping over kufs, leather socks, or socks that are worn or torn with holes, then the scholars have differed in this issue with many opinions. The majority, al-jumhur, the majority of them forbid it, wiping over socks that have holes, based on the long differing amongst them, which you can see in the detailed discussions found in the books of Fiqh and Al-Muhalla. Al-Muhalla is a very important book by Al-Imam Ibn Hazm, Al-Zahiri Madhab. But Ibn Hazm, what's important about his Fiqh is that he brought a lot of arguments that nobody else brought, because he is from the Zahiri Madhab, yani literalist. So he have a lot of opinions based on literal interpretation. But he also brought evidences to support his opinions. So, the Shaykh Al-Albani is saying, you can find this in the books of Fiqh, and don't forget to look in Ibn Hazm's book, Al-Muhalla. Other scholars held the opinion that it was permissible. They are the minority. That it's permissible to wipe over the socks with holes in them, or tears, or whatever. And this is the opinion that we favor, meaning Shaykh Al-Albani. Our argument for this is that the source, meaning the asl, the source principle, is the absolute allowance of wiping. Yani, the asl is that the permissibility of wiping is mutlaq. It's not muqayyid. It's mutlaq. Yani, Allah gave permission to wiping over socks. Mutlaq means what? It doesn't have any restriction. What are the restrictions? The restrictions, you can wipe within a certain time, a day and a night, or 3 days and three nights. What are the restrictions? You have to make sure you wash your feet before you put the socks on. What are the restrictions? That you can't use it for janaba, major impurity. But if you don't have any proof for a restriction, that يُقَيِّدُهُ, then it's mutlaq. Wiping over socks have been made permissible mutlaq. Shaykh is given this argument, very important argument. That's the argument that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen just mentioned. But he mentioned in different words. He said, لا يُشْتَرِطْ. Yani there's no condition that, unless there's a proof for it. So there's no condition that the whole foot can't be any hole or anything. The whole foot has to be covered in order for you to wipe over them. Because why? Because the asl is the permissibility of wiping over socks. As long as al-ism baqiya. As long as they still call socks, they still call kufs, it's permissible to wipe them. That's the asl. Now, how do we get away from that asl? You have to bring a proof that says, no, but it's restricted by this and that and that. They brought restrictions, but they didn't bring any proof for the restrictions. That's the problem. So the Shaykh says, our argument for this is that the asl is the absolute allowance, yani mutlaq, ibaha, mutlaqan, for wiping. So whoever forbids it and places a condition on it, a shart, such that they must be void of any holes, that's a condition they made, or he places limits on it in some other way, then he is refuted by the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, every condition, every shart, kullu shart, laysa fi kitabillah, every condition that people made that's not in the Book of Allah, fahuwa batil. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. That's what Shaykh Uthaymeen is referring to. He says there's no condition unless we have a proof for it. Every condition that the people made that's not in the Book of Allah, not in the Sharia of Allah, is batil. It has also been authentically reported from Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great Imams of the Salaf, one of the greatest of the Imams of the Salaf, rahimahullah. He said, wipe over them the socks so long as they are attached to your feet. So long as they are still attached to your feet. Were the socks on the Muhajireen and the Ansar anything but torn with holes, ripped and tattered? They were poor people. As long as they're still on your feet, it's good. This saying of Sufyan al-Thawri is reported by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, number 753. And from that path of narration of Al-Bayhaqi also. Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said, remember Shaykh al-Bani said, don't forget to go back to Ibn Hazm's book Al-Muhalla. So if there's found in the kufs, or whatever is worn on the feet, whatever they are, anything that's worn on your feet, if there's found in them any holes that are small or large, long or wide, such that some part of the foot is visible, it's not covered, whether a little bit or a lot, or both, then all of that is the same. Doesn't matter. And wiping over them is permissible, so long as any part of it continues to be attached to, continues to attach itself to your feet. As long as it's still holding on to your feet, wipe over them. This is the opinion of Sufyan al-Thawri, Ibn Hazm says. This is the opinion of Sufyan al-Thawri and Dawood and Abu Thawr and Ishaq ibn Rahuway and Yazid ibn Harun. This is in Muhalla, second volume, 100 page. Then he, rahimahullah, Ibn Hazm goes on to relate the statements of the scholars that forbid it. Yani the other opinion, who say you can't do it. According to what they contain from differing and contradiction. Yani even they differed amongst themselves and some of them contradicted one another in there, making conditions that have no basis in the Qur'an or Sunnah. And then he goes on to refute them. He brings their opinions, and then he refutes them one by one. He refutes them, and explains that it is an opinion that they have. There is no evidence to support it, except opinion. Then he closed that with his statement. Ibn Hazm closes by saying, however, the truth in this matter is what is reported in the Sunnah, which explains the Qur'an, and that the ruling for the 2 feet, which do not have any garment over them to wipe over, and you don't have any socks, boots, shoes, nothing to wipe over, the ruling for those feet is that they must be washed. And the ruling for the 2 feet, if there's a garment over them, something covering them, whatever it is that they can be wiped over. This is what is reported in the Sunnah. And your Lord is not forgetful. Yani Allah has not forgotten. This is Surah Maryam, yani 64th ayah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew when he commanded for wiping over the kufs or whatever is worn on the feet that he wiped over the socks. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we just mentioned from Mughayrah and others, that he did wipe over socks, just regular socks. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew when he commanded for wiping over the kufs and whatever is worn on the feet. And from amongst them is regular socks that the Prophet ﷺ wiped over also. He knew that there was large and small holes, as well as no holes. in the shoes, in the socks, and whatever else is worn on the feet. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also knew that there existed the footwear that was red, that was black, that was white, as well as new and old. And he knew there's all kind of people wearing different kinds of footwear and different kind of conditions. He knew all of that. That everybody's not going to be wearing the same leather socks that stick, that you can walk 10 miles in them, they don't fall down, water can't get through them, you can't see. He knew that everybody's not going to be wearing that. The Prophet ﷺ, he knew this. And he also knew, but he, knowing this, he did not specify some of it over another. He didn't say you can only wear this one with this condition and that and the other. He never made such a condition. And if the ruling for that in the religion varied from leather socks to wool socks to some other kind of socks, socks that got holes or no holes, if it varied in the ruling, then Allah would not have forgotten to send down revelation concerning it. Nor would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have neglected explaining it. Far is he removed from that. Thus it is correct that the ruling for wiping applies to all conditions. Al-Muhalla, second volume, 100 page. Also Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in his Ikhtiyarat, page 13, it is permissible to wipe over the foot garments, yani foot coverings, on one of its two sides. Ibn Taymim and others related this. It is also permissible to wipe over the kuf that has holes in it. Ibn Taymiyyah said, it's also permissible to wipe over the kufs that has holes in it, so long as it continues to hold the name kuf, and one is able to walk in it. Yani as long as it's still called kufs, doesn't matter if it has holes, has tears, is thin, whatever, doesn't matter. As long as it's called kuf and it holds, and if you're able to walk in them, these are kufs. This is the older of the two opinions of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. This is the older of two opinions Al-Shafi'i held on it. And it is that which Abu Al-Barakat and other scholars have preferred. This is what Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah said. And then, and finally, concerning the difference of opinion specifically about footwear that's below the ankles, Ibn Hazm, Al-Imam Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, in his Muhalla, in the same place we mentioned before, volume 2, but page 103, he said, so, I'm going to stop with this. So if the footwear, the khuf, are cut so that they fall beneath the ankles, then wiping over them is permissible. And we're looking at two different sides, right? There's two sides of this. The majority of scholars said it's not permissible. Ibn Hazm says, if the kufs are cut below the ankles, it's permissible to wipe over. This is the opinion of Al-Imam Al-Awza'i. Al-Imam Al-Awza'i. Yani, Ibn Hazm, he didn't come up with this himself. He always went back to the scholars of the past. He said, this is the opinion of Al-Awza'i. And it has been reported from him that he said, the muhrim may wipe over his shoes that come beneath the ankles. Others have stated, he may not wipe over them unless they go over the ankles. Two opinions. Wallahu a'lamu. The point of all of this is what? Brothers and sisters, let us know that when we are studying, we have to be diligent. Don't read one article, one post on Facebook, and that's the end of the issue. We have to go back and look in some books. Not one book, one scholar. Different scholars. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said this. Sheikh Al-Albani said that. Imam Ibn Hazm said this. Imam Ahmed said something else. Huh? Some of the Sahaba had opinion. Different Sahaba had another opinion. You have to go back and research the issue. Okay, don't be so locked in. This is what I know. This is what I was taught. I don't want to hear anything else. No. Perhaps your opinion is right. Perhaps it is wrong. But you cannot be so strong, stuck on opinion, and you didn't hear the other side. There are two views. The majority view is that you can't wipe over those socks that don't meet these conditions. Minority view is those conditions have to have a proof. If they have a proof, fine. If they have no proof, Yani, you have your view, and we have ours. Now, from the hadith. Maybe you came late. And that's why today, in the beginning of the class, I referred you back to Bulugh Maram, the hadith that are the texts for the conditions that we mentioned. Okay, one of them is the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, it's in Bulugh al-Maram, in the chapter of wiping over khufs. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stipulated the time of wiping as 3 days and three nights for a traveler and 1 day and a night for a resident. And there are other narrations also, but that's, he mentions that in Bulugh al-Maram. And there's another narration that also mentions the time, the narration in which he mentions that the Prophet Safwan, the narration of Safwan ibn Asal, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said that when we were traveling, do not take off your socks for relieving yourself or if you fell asleep, illa al-janaba, except that there is janaba, yani for 3 days and three nights. Meaning that for 3 days and three nights, he's talking about traveling. Okay, don't take off your socks. If you urinated, defecated, passed wind, slept, you don't have to take off your socks. You can just wipe over them. Except if you have a major state of impurity from janaba, then you have to take a ghusl, take off your socks and wash your whole body with water. Okay, so those are two narrations, both of them in Bulugh al-Maram, and you can find them in other places. So you can find them in Bulugh al-Maram. If you don't have Bulugh al-Maram, we can send you the PDF file for Bulugh al-Maram with explanation of Shaykh Safi al-Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah. Naam. Okay, so now our time is almost up. We have a little bit of time. So we're going to look at the topic for today, a little bit. Okay, so anyway, we discussed last week also. Did I send those notes? Did anybody receive those notes about the wiping over socks that mentioned the timing? Okay, in any case, the timing... Yani, there's discussion concerning, yani, the scholars have three opinions concerning the time that you have for wiping. When does it begin? The opinion of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and the opinion of other scholars before him, and it's the correct opinion, clearly, wallahu alam, is that the time for wiping begins when you actually use the permission to wipe. When you actually use the permission to wipe. You make wudu and you wipe over your socks. Once you do that, the time starts. Now you can wipe for a day and a night, 24 hours. If you are resident. If you're traveling, you can wipe for 72 hours, 3 days and three nights. Okay, the other two opinions are, some scholars said the time starts when you break wudu, when you invalidated your wudu. Some scholars said it starts from the time you put on your socks. Yani, you washed your feet, you made wudu and washed your feet, and you put on your socks, time starts then. The other one said, no, it starts when you invalidated your wudu, starts then. Now you have 24 hours to wipe. If you didn't wipe at that moment, it doesn't matter, it starts then. But the correct opinion, it doesn't start when you put the socks on. Because you didn't wipe yet. You have a permission to wipe for 24 hours. You didn't do any wiping yet. You washed your feet, you put your socks on. It doesn't start then. Okay, you broke wudu 3 hours later. How does it start then? I didn't wipe yet. So how do I get to wipe for 24 hours and it starts before I start wiping? Rather, the time starts when you actually invalidated your wudu and you decided to make a new wudu, even if it's 10 hours later, and then you actually made wudu and wiped over your socks, now you can wipe for a period of 24 hours from that time. That's the correct opinion. That's what Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said. That's what other scholars said. Imam Nawawi said, that's what the evidence supports. The evidence supports that the time begins when you utilize the permission to wipe. Again, there's difference of opinion. Even some of the Salaf, yani, had a different view concerning this, going way back to Tabi'in, some of them had a different view, and coming up until now, we find that there are different views concerning this. What is more correct and closer to being supported by evidence is that it begins when you utilize the permission so that you actually can wipe for a period of 24 hours from the time that you first utilize the permission. The Iqama is at... 4:15. Okay, let's quickly read, and we'll come back to this subject next week, inshallah, when we go to the Nawaqid of Wudu. But let's, because we have a brief reading, let's read it, and then we'll talk about the details of it next week, inshallah. We're on page 21 of Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Program. Sifatul Wudu'i. Meaning? The description of ablution, describing the ablution. We already previously covered, yani, the obligatory parts of ablution, the sunnah parts of ablution, and now we want to look at Yani, what is the description of this ablution? As far as the obligatory acts of ablution, we said they are what? Obligatory acts. What are the obligatory acts? Furud of wudu. Number one, washing the face. Yani, from the hairline to the chin, from ear to ear. Wait a minute. Including the face, before hands, is the mouth and nose. That's part of the face. Naam, but we have to mention mouth and nose. The second thing is washing the hands. And that means from the fingertips up to and including the elbows. Washing the hands. The third thing from the obligatory aspects is wiping the head. And that means the whole head from front to back and back again. And the fourth, including the ears. Ears are part of the head. Naam. And the fourth thing is the
washing the feet.
Washing the feet. Yani, up to and including the ankles. And the fifth thing is the tartib, doing them in order. And the last sixth thing is not to delay. Muwalat. Naam. That they have to be done one after another, and without a long delay between them. Okay, as far as the sunan, we mentioned a number of things. We'll see some of them as we look at this description. But in any case, we discussed this in some detail. Here we have the sifatul wudu. Huh? Huh? Niyya. Naam. Naam. That's from the shurut, yani. Or some say that it's from the furud also, or yani. In any case, it's before wudu, so we say it's from the arkan. Shurut, preconditions for the validity. Sifatul wudu. Al wudu al kamilu al sabigu. Al wudu al kamil al sabigu. Meaning the ablution that is complete, perfect, and sabig meaning thorough. Thorough, complete ablution. Huwa an yanwi al wudu. An yanwiya al wudu. Yani, it is to intend, yani, to intend, make intention before you actually begin. To make intention for ablution. وَالنِّيَّةُ مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبُ. Meaning, the place for the intention is the heart. That means what? Yani, what's the ramification of that? That it's not spoken. It's not something that you say. The place for the niyya is the heart. You intend in your heart to make ablution. ثُمَّ يُسَمِّي. Then you say Bismillah. يُسَمِّي. Yani, you mention the name of Allah. Say Bismillah. Not Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Not Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You say Bismillah. ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثًا. Then he washes the two palms of the hands. كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثًا. Three times. ثُمَّ يَتَمَضْمَضُ. Then he rinses the mouth with water. وَيَسْتَنْشِقُ وَيَسْتَنْثِرُ. And then he sniffs in water into the nose and blows it out. Notice in their description here, they said ثُمَّ يَتَمَضْمَضُ وَيَسْتَنْشِقُ وَيَسْتَنْثِرُ, without ثُمَّ between them. And this, that's significant. And we're going to come to this point and discuss it in some detail now. Okay, yatamadmadu. Yatamadmadu. Yastanshiku. And yes. Okay, yastanthiru. Okay, so the first, it should be typographical error here. Thumma yatamadmadu, without tha on the end. Yatamadmadu. Vad is the last letter. Wayastanshiku. Wayas. The scene should have sukoon. Yes, ten, firu. Yani, the scene should have sukoon. The ta should have fatta. Yes, ten, firu. Yani, yastanshiku means to take water into the nose. Istinshaq. And yani, yastanthiru means istinthar, means to blow the water out of the nose. Thalathan. Yani, to take water into the mouth, take water into the nose and blow it out. ثلاثاً. Notice he mentioned them all together. يَتَمَضْمَضُ وَاسْتَنْشِقُ وَاسْتَنْثِرُ ثَلَاثًا. ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ وَجْهَهُ. Then he should wash his face. It should be وَجْهَهُ. يعني ها instead of تَا مَرْبُوتَ. وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثًا. Then he washed his face three times, meaning the whole of the face, from the hairline to the chin, from ear to ear. ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ يَدَيْهِ مَعَ مِرْفَقَيْهِ ثَلَاثًا. Then he washes his two hands along with the two elbows three times. Meaning the hand here means the whole of the hand up to and including the elbow. Meaning from the fingertips to the elbows. This very important point, from the fingertips, not from the wrist to the elbow. And we're going to talk about that inshallah. Time up. And if Allah allows us enough time. ثُمَّ يَمْسَحُ جَمِيعَ رَأْسِهِ. Then he will wipe the whole of his head. مِنْ حَدِّ الْوَجْهِ إِلَى قَفَاهُ وَيَرُدُّ الْمَسْحُ إِلَى قَفَاهُ إِلَى وَجْهِ مِنْ كَفَاهُ إِلَى وَجْهِهِ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَتَرْكُهُ. ثُمَّ يَمْسَحُ جَمِيعَ رَأْسِهِ. Then he wipes the whole of his head. مِنْ حَدِّ الْوَجْهِ, yani meaning from the limits of the face. From the limits of the face, yani meaning from the hairline, إِلَى قَفَاهُ, to the back, yani where the head, turn him a little bit, to the corner of the room. Now, to the back, where the head meets the neck, right? What's that called? Nape of the neck. Then he wipes up to there. حَدْ إِلَى كَفَاهُ وَيُرُدُّ الْمَسْحُ إِلَى مِنْ كَفَاهُ إِلَى وَجْهِ. And then he returns, wiping from the nape of the neck to the face, yani to the foreline, to the where the face begins, the foreline of the hair, yani the edge, yani the limit of the head where it meets the face. ثُمَّ يُدْخِلُ سَبَّابَتَيْهِ. Then he will enter his index fingers, سَبَّابَتَيْهِ فِي سِمَاخَيْ أُذُنَيْهِ. سِمَاخَيْ يعني مُثَنَّى, سُمَاخَيْن يعني سُمَاخَان, سُمَاخَيْن, سُمَاخَيْ أُذُنَيْهِ. Then he will enter his index fingers, yani into the inner folds of the ears, of the two ears. وَيَمْسَحُ بِإِبْهَامَيْهِ. And then he will wipe with his thumbs, ظَاهِرَهُمَا, yani the outer part of the ears, yani the index fingers on the inner folds of the ear, and the thumbs on the outside of the ear. The thumbs and index fingers, ظَاهِرَهُمَا. ثُمَّ يَغْسِلُ رِجْلَيْهِ. Then he will wash his two feet, should be مَعَ. The meme should be ميم عين, مَعَ. كعبيه ثلاثا. Then he will wash his two feet along with, yani, the ankles three times. كعبيه ثلاثا. فإن اقتصر في الغسل على واحدة. So if he, yani, limits himself, اقتصر, in the washing, to one time, washing these parts that are washed three times, one time, وَاقْتَصَرَ عَلَى الْأَرْكَانِ, and he also limit himself to just to the arkan, meaning the furud, the obligatory things of wudu, أَجْزَأَهُ, then this will be sufficient. He will be accredited as being valid. If he only washed each part one time, and he only washed those things which are fard, which we mentioned in the beginning. وَلَكِنْ الْعَمَلُ بِسُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل وأفضل. يعني this limiting oneself to the furud will credit you with having a valid wudu. However, acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is more complete and perfect, and it is better. أكمل وأفضل. Okay, before we go any further, I have some notes here I want to read. The first note I want to read is from Kitab al-Umm. Kitab al-Umm. Which book is Kitab al-Umm? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i says in Kitab al-Umm, in this copy of it, yani it's on page 56, But in the previous copy that I was reading from, that I made my original notes from, it was on a different page. But in any case, whatever page we found it, it's Bab Ghuslul Yadain. Yani, 22nd Bab, Kitab al-Umm, washing the two hands. Qala al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, qala Allahu jalla wa azza, wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq. And your hands, yani the description of wudu, and your hands up to the elbows. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 6th ayat. فَلَمْ أَعْلَمْ مُخَالِفًا فِي أَنَّ الْمُرَافِقِ مِمَّا يُغْسَلْ. Imam Shafi says, I didn't find any opposition, مُخَالِفًا, أَعْلَمْ مُخَالِفًا. I don't know anyone who opposes, who differs concerning the murafiq, that they are from that which has to be washed. Yani, إِلَى الْمُرَافِقِ means up to and including, that the elbows also have to be washed. Doesn't mean up to and then stop there. It means up to and including. The Imam Shafi says, I don't find anybody who has a different opinion, and who says that the elbows do not have to be washed. كَأَنَّهُمْ ذَهَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَنَّ مَعَنَاهَا فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَن تَغْسِلَ الْمُرَافِقِ. Yani Imam Shafi says, it is as though they, meaning the scholars before him, hold the opinion, ذَهَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَنَّ مَعَنَاهَا, that the meaning of this, up to the elbows, means فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَن تَغْسِلَ الْمَرَافِقِ. Yani means wash your faces and your hands until you also wash your elbows, included in this. And then he mentions that which is of importance for us today. And you know what Shafi says, وَلَا يُجْزِي فِي غَسْلِ الْيَدَيْنِ أَبَدًا إِلَّا أَن يُؤْتَى عَلَى مَا بَيْنَ أَطْرَافِ الْأَصَابِعَ إِلَى أَن تَغْسِلَ الْمَرَافِقِ. Huh? Imam Shafi says what? وَلَا يُجْزِي. Yani it is not sufficient. You will not get credit for making wudu fil ghusl al-yadain, in terms of washing the hands, ever, abadan, illa an yu'ta, except that you come, that you bring, yani that you perform, ala ma bayna atrafi al-asabiya ila an taghsil al-marafiq. Yani you will not be given credit for washing the hands unless you washed that which is between the extremities of the fingers up to the elbow. Meaning not from the wrist, but from the fingertips. From the fingertips, atrafi al-asabiya, until you also wash the elbows. وَلَا يُجْزِي إِلَّا أَن يُعْتَى بِغَسْلِ عَلَى ظَاهِرِ الْيَدَيْنِ وَبَاطِنِهِمَا وَحُرُوفِهِمَا. And it will not be sufficient, you will not get credit for making this washing unless you wash the ظَاهِرِ الْيَدَيْنِ, يعني وَبَاطِنِهِمَا, the outer part of the hands and the inner part of the hands, the backs of the hands and the palms of the hands. وَحُرُوفِهِمَا, and the sides of the hands, meaning front, back, side, the whole hand from the fingertips up to the elbow. حَتَّى يَنْقَضَى غُسْلُهُمَا, until you, yani completely fulfill, yani complete, you're finished and done from washing both hands completely, all parts of the hand up to, yani from the fingertips up to the elbows. وَإِنْ تُرِكَ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْءٍ وَإِنْ قَلَّ لَمْ يُجْزِي وَإِنْ تَرَكَ شيئاً وإن ترك أم سعي وإن ترك يعني مبني للمجهول وإن ترك من هذا شيء وإن قل لم يجزي. And if anything من هذا شيء, if anything from this is left, is not washed, وإن قل, even if it is something small amount, لم يجزي, then the washing will not be valid. And then he goes on to discuss يعني washing, in the beginning with the right, and then the left, and so on. Okay, this is what I wanted to read from here, which is of importance, and similar, yani, to the first part of what Al-Imam Shafi says here, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir in his tafsir of this ayat, yani, وَقَوْلُهُ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, 5th surah, 6th ayat, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says, أَيْ مَعَ الْمَرَافِقِ, yani, the hands up to the elbows means, مَعَ الْمَرَافِقِ, yani, along with the elbows. And then he has some further discussion for the sake of time. Yani, we just suffice with this. I just wanted to make clear that in the washing of the hands in ablution, that the elbows have to be included, and as well the hand has to be included from the atraf al-asabiya, from the extremities, yani the tips of the fingers, the whole of the hand. And remember we said that in Arabic the hand means yani up to the wrist, or the hand up to the elbow, or the hand up to the shoulder. And Allah limits it here to the murafiq, yani up to the elbows. And Al-Imam al-Shafi and Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says that means ma'a al-murafiq, including, up to and including the elbows. Imam Shafi further says including the fingertips. No, the time is, our time is up. Our time is up. No, I think I only read from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Fifth surah, sixth ayat. Okay, so next week, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will come back to this sifatul wudu a little bit for some further points about the washing of the mouth and the nose separately, together, how it is done, what are the proofs for it, and some discussion about it, including the narrations that came about this, what from them are authentic and what is not authentic, and the difference of opinion concerning them, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But I would refer you, if anybody has Mishkat al-Masabih, yani the book of Hadith, Shaykh al-Albani has a checking of it. If somebody goes back to there, you'll find in the Sunan of Wudu, in the Sunan of Wudu, the chapter of Tahara, the book of Tahara, Sunan of Wudu, yani he has from page 125 to 134, 10 pages of Hadith concerning the Sunan of Wudu, 39 hadith, from hadith number 391 to 429, a lot of hadith. Inshallah, we're going to read two or three of them next week in this class that clarify this issue of the washing of the mouth and nose, how it should be done, can they be done separately, is it permissible, do they have to be done together, and what is closer to the sunnah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.